In beauty, most people love to sell luxury high ASP products.
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest to make money on them. There is a certain audience of, let's say, 10 million people in India, or maybe even lower, who is well-traveled outside, who has lots of disposable income at home. You know, they can buy any lipstick priced at any price point in India. But there is a aspirational India, let's call it another 100 million Indians, you know, who also want to buy a lot of great quality products. They have exposure to same YouTube, same Instagram, same influencers, same celebrities. But, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to buy amazing products.
Yeah.
Can you do something for them whereby they feel they are able to try those products, you know, at a price point which is suitable for them?
Welcome to Unstarted. What is unique about this show is this is about you. It is for founders, by founders. So I have a beauty founder today who is also looking beautiful. He comes from a background that has not been associated being with becoming a successful entrepreneur. We'll talk more about that. Banker, private equity investor, all the things you should not do before becoming a founder. But somebody I also consider my $100 million plus mistake. So that's Manish. Welcome, Manish.
Thank you.
Great to have you here. Manish is the founder of Purple, which hopefully many of you know as one of India's leading beauty sites. We are also doing this jointly with Team, which is the Tech Entrepreneurs Association. Of which Purple is a member. You are a member. Many of us are evangelists, so we'll talk about Mumbai as well in this episode. But thank you for coming. Let's go all the way back. Born and raised where? How did you end up? All the steps that led to the formation of Purple.
Very interesting. So, you know, I was born in Faridabad. It's a city next to Delhi. If I can use Hindi, I was a kuen ka mendak.
Yeah.
So I didn't know much about...
No, please do use Hindi, but please explain what kuen ka mendak means.
You know, like, you're a frog of your own well. So you don't have much of a worldview.
Okay.
I grew up in a conservative society, not too many religions around me. I went to a good school in Faridabad. And then, you know, somewhere along in post-10th grade, a friend of mine told me that, you know, IIT JEE is something that, you know, India has these colleges, you know, you should prepare for it. And so I studied 11th, 12th, I prepared for IIT JEE. I had no idea, nobody from my family had ever been to an IIT, so I also had no idea. Most people used to stay back in Faridabad or at max do something in Haryana state. My father used to be with central government and my mom used to be a principal of a very small school in Faridabad. So education was important.
Yeah.
For me, actually, cricket was more important than education, but my parents thought that would not be the right thing to do. And, you know, maybe rightly so at that point in time. So look, grew up with very modest means. I used to get scholarships from school because I used to do well in school. And then, you know, one fine day I did get into IIT and my life changed quite dramatically. For the first time, I was surrounded by extremely brilliant students and I felt very small. You know, you feel like, where have you come? You know, you were this young kid, you know, who went to school and then used to play cricket in the afternoon and evening and then just go back to sleep. So I think first time staying in a hostel, all of that was a little different. I got used to it. You know, I'll tell you why I think what sowed the seeds of being a founder. And, you know, people don't know how people influence their lives. So I'll give you my episode. I was quite interested in electronics at IIT Delhi. And, you know, I was quite interested in microwave technologies in India. And India did not have many companies in microwave. There was probably one called Astra Microwave in Hyderabad, yeah, where I wanted to intern at. This was hardcore hardware, you know. And at that point in time, the founder of Airtel, Sunil Bharti Mittal, sponsored a school at IIT. It's called Bharti School of Telecom. And to inaugurate that school, you know, our Prime Minister Manmohan Singh came, Dr. Manmohan Singh came to inaugurate that. And I attended that speech by Sunil Bharti Mittal where, you know, this was somewhere in 2005 where he said, you know, in 2003 when Reliance Infocom launched, on CDMA platform when the rest of the world was on GSM. Everyone advised him to, you know, leave this business and do something else.
Yeah.
He said, you know, if we had any other business, we would have chosen that. But given we didn't have any, I took my entire team to Agra for an offsite. We went underground for 3 days and we came back saying we're going to win this. And you know, rest is history.
Yeah. The same thing happened with him now with Jio.
Yeah, yeah.
And he talks about that. Because again, they were like written off and amazing. Yeah. I find him very inspiring.
You know, I thought that story was goosebumpish.
Yes, to be
honest.
It is.
And I think that somewhere sowed the seed saying, you know, it'll be amazing to be an entrepreneur and hopefully a successful one. And so...
So interesting. So you were inspired literally by one person.
Because, you know, like India of 2002-03 was very different from India of today. You know, like we didn't have any big startup founders. You know, you obviously had the Infosys founders. There was no Flipkart. It came after me. There was no, you know, we weren't as inspired by Bill Gates, to be honest. Like, utna pata nahi tha. And, you know, I had never been to the US, so I didn't know any which ways.
Yeah.
And so I came to Bombay. My first job was at Lehman Brothers, where I started doing derivatives trading. I didn't enjoy it a bit because I thought we were just playing with numbers. We didn't understand those companies that we were putting these instruments on. And so very soon I joined an Indian founder.
But by the way, that played out. Lehman Brothers was going to rented the top floor of this building.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they went bankrupt. Yeah.
And so I got a chance to, you know, meet an entrepreneur in the investment banking world who I think has shaped investment banking in this country quite beautifully. His name is Gaurav Deepak.
Yeah.
And
Founder
of Avendus. Yeah. And I joined Avendus with him. You know, I think those 2 years were fascinating years of my life. I got to work very closely with him.
But tell me, you were inspired by Sunil Mittal.
Yeah.
You said, okay, entrepreneurship may be the path. Then banking. No, then Lehman, then banking.
Yeah, so, look, because first job was Lehman. Because Lehman came to campus to recruit. They recruited probably 4 or 5 of us. So, you know, I thought at some point in time I would turn an entrepreneur. I didn't know when.
But was there a thought process that let me make some money first? Or let me learn something
thoda
first?
Thoda sa tha ki kuch, matlab, utna nahi tha, but ye tha ki 20-30 lakh rupaye kama lete hain so that, you know, I can put that money into startup because I couldn't borrow it from my parents.
That's gone up to 50 lakhs now because a lot of people have said this, ki main 50 lakh ek bar bank mein ho jayega, uske baad main risk lunga.
So, mera 50 lakh ko bank mein rakhne ka plan nahi tha. So, when we started, I put all that money right up front.
Yeah,
because,
good.
You know, it was needed to even rent an office in Bombay and then buy laptops for the first set of 5-6 people and pay their salaries for a few months. So, my idea was, thoda paisa hoga, toh, you know, we will start and then we will try and see if angel investors can invest in our company and so forth. Look, luckily or unluckily, I would say luckily I did a lot of good work before starting Purple. So I joined Avendus, then I wanted to get some buy side experience. So I joined Fidelity Growth Partners India, which is now called 8 Roads. And, you know, luckily I would say all the people I worked with, thought I was doing good work, and so they decided to back the startup, finally happened in 2012. Most of them continue to be shareholders in the company,
Which is
even today. And so look, that's how Purple started.
So let's pause there, Manish. So just for people's benefit, you were clear you wanted to be an entrepreneur. It was a question of not if but when.
Yeah.
You did compound along the way, and this is a story that comes out with many different founders that we meet, that along the way, whether it was the network, whether it was the resources, whether it was the skill set, that compounded for them into the journey. But the question still remains, and many of them say, but I didn't have an idea. So we have a question.
Hi, I'm Sukriti Shukla. I graduated from the National Institute of Fashion Technology. And my question to you is, do you really need to have an original idea to be able to build a company?
And you know, I also started without clarity on an idea. So, clarity on being an entrepreneur, getting good exposure, and then how did you think about it?
You know, you don't need to start with an original idea always.
Well, I was the original copycat entrepreneur, by the way.
So, you know, like I would say, you start with an idea.
Yeah.
You know, India is a very large country and very diverse country. So multiple players in every category will do well. It is not going to be one person winning it all. And you know, along the way, I would say you have to realize how are you different from everybody else. Because if you copy others, then how are you going to win is something you've got to be very clear about. At some point in time in our 14-year journey, it was about capital. You know, like people who were the most capitalized would have won, but yeah, that didn't play out very well.
Yeah.
You know, at least the way we thought about our journey is, how can we be very different from competition? Because there is a competition which is serving a certain audience. They are leaving a lot of audiences which they are not serving. Is there a way in which we can serve that audience, which is something that they won't do?
Yeah.
And, you know, to serve that audience is not going to be a straightforward choice, because there is a reason why others are not serving this audience, yeah, because maybe they think they can't make money here.
Yeah.
But then you've got to think, how can you make money here? So yeah, I'll give you an example. In beauty, most people love to sell luxury high ASP products.
Yeah.
Because it's the easiest to make money on them. There is a certain audience of, let's say, 10 million people in India, or maybe even lower, who is well traveled outside, who has lots of disposable income at home. You know, they can buy any lipstick priced at any price point in, yeah, India. But there is a aspirational India, let's call it another 100 million Indians, you know, who also want to buy a lot of great quality products. They have exposure to same YouTube, same Instagram, same influencers, same celebrities. But, you know, they don't have the wherewithal to buy amazing products.
Yeah.
Can you do something for them whereby they feel they are able to try those products, you know, at a price point which is suitable for them?
And you can make money doing it.
And obviously, so you have to make money doing it. You know, yeah, obviously, you're not going to discount something and sell it at negative gross margin. And hence, you know, we thought private brand, building private brands could be the way to do it. And hence, that's the approach we took instead of selling premium brands.
Yeah.
Now, if you have to build products or brands, again, there are two, three ways of doing it. You know, one is you might be a consumer of your category, and so you have a personal opinion on how something is better than the other. In our case, we were not consumers of our category. So what do you do in that?
But just on that, Manish, even if you were,
yeah,
just because some people will start like that, that won't scale.
That won't scale.
All crossing the chasm,
yeah,
issue. Right?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll tell you the feedback we got from Matrix Partners. I don't know if it this year was 2015-16.
Which
was,
is our erstwhile name.
Your erstwhile name.
Yeah.
Is that we don't have a woman co-founder in the team.
Yeah.
You know? I wish we had one. But, you know, if you don't have one, it doesn't matter, to, yeah, be honest. Because I think, one, anybody can learn any industry. And we learned our industry by trying it on our own. And second, I think, you know, you have to back your strength. You really can't improve too much on your weaknesses.
Yeah.
So our strength was, we were engineers from IIT. Three engineers from IIT were building a beauty startup. We thought data would be our god. And so, you know, across, now, you know, a lot of things have happened by luck in our journey. You know, AI is coming today, or maybe came 1 year ago. Machine learning was something that we were doing in 2015, 2016. Jio happened in our journey. UPI happened in our journey. So look, Bhagwan kuch na kuch kar deta hai. But I think, you know, if you choose your way and say, look, I am good at data. I'm going to figure out how can computer learn beauty like how human beings learn. I think that is a significantly more scalable way of building things than perhaps, you know, having access to a unique idea.
Yeah.
And so that's the approach we took, which is quite contrarian to what everybody else does.
And it is potentially something people can learn a lot from. You said something else, which, by the way, interestingly, it's amazing as I do these, how certain themes come on how founders think. Most founders I've heard saying, focus on strengths, not weaknesses. Hmm. Multiply your strengths, and,
yeah,
sounds like,
yeah,
you guys are saying female co-founder nahi hai, ye nahi hai, wo nahi hai, that may be a weakness, but we'll be the most analytical, we'll figure out machine learning, we'll figure out.
Yeah.
But how did you come up with beauty? Let's go all the way back.
So, all the way back, you know, I thought there, I would say my upbringing in investing world and investment banking world helped, to be honest. You know, I would say some of it was gut and a lot of it was data.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you what gut. So I think India was coming online from 2010, 2011 onwards. a lot of people were accessing internet using Wi-Fi from their offices on their laptops. 3G was not yet born, so we were a little ahead of our time. But I think something was happening in the internet world where I think just MAU was increasing every month.
Monthly active users
were just going up. So I think it was a rising tide that we just wanted to participate in. Now, there could have been many business models in this rising tide. One business model could have been e-commerce, which is buying and selling. You can call it retail or marketplace. That's a more technical term. I think second business model could have been news. And I think the third business model could have been classifieds, you know. Honestly, I don't think we could have made money on the B and C business model at a lower scale. I always wanted to build a business where I wanted it to be sustainable from day one, where I said, look, if I know this is my cost, if I'm going to sell at 30% premium to that cost, I'm going to make some money. As long as I operate at a certain scale, I'm going to be break-even or profitable. I want to operate this way. Now, it's a choice I made. Obviously, if I had access to $50 million at the start or $10 million at the start, maybe I could have chosen a business differently. I also thought, you know, classified business in India where there is high trust deficit was a hard thing to do, to be honest. And I was never interested in news. So hence, e-commerce became the business model.
Yeah.
And then within e-commerce, you know, Flipkart was doing good at certain areas.
Yeah.
Myntra was still a customized apparel website.
Yes.
And so I thought, you know, let's pick another area which is less in competition today. It has high gross margins, which fits my profitability thesis. It has good repeat. And, you know, it fits well from an e-commerce point of view in terms of shipment. And last, you know, this category, which is beauty, grows disproportionately as GDP per capita grows.
I remember that thought. I still remember that thought you telling me. Because my questions to you would have been, why can't Flipkart do it? Why can't this? Why can't this?
Yeah.
And you said, A, you don't cater deep enough, and B, it grows disproportionately with GDP.
And so we've seen that happen.
Yeah.
Now, look, it was a bet we had taken in 2011, 2012.
Yeah.
Look, I'm happy that it played out this way.
I think you're being very modest. I think it's been a lot of relentless execution. To that point, you launch, then competition launches, everybody starts doing it. Let's take, there's a question here around, it's around distribution modes, but I think more broadly, in a market where products are being replicated quickly, you have extensive competition coming in, what should you prioritize? And you took some contrarian calls also at that time. So let's talk about that.
You know, I think I'll speak about distribution purely from consumer products point of view. I'm not an expert on software products. So I think if you look at e-commerce distribution, I think distribution is now easy to get. There are 10 players in the country. If you work with these 5 to 10 players, you have access to all of India's e-commerce penetration. And that business, that distribution itself is quite large. I think what is probably more important today is to come out with a unique product and scale it rapidly by ensuring that your unit economics works. You already have the distribution available to you in the form of horizontals, verticals, quick commerce, Meesho, everybody. You know, competition will take some time to catch up because they won't start copying your product from day one. I think they start copying your product from 18 month onwards. By that time, I think even if they copy, it's not going to work for them. The reason is, if you already scaled a product to, let's say, 100 crores, 200 crores, you already have 150 crores of marketing budget to put. If somebody is starting from scratch today, and even if they hit 5 crores, you know, their marketing budget is max going to be 10 crores, 20 crores, even if they want to spend 4x of their revenue on it.
Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to compete with it. So we have a product. We launched that product in perhaps 2024. It does 200 crores a year, single product.
What is it?
It's called Rosemary Water. We have a brand called Alps Goodness. We launched a unique product called Rosemary Water. I get great reviews on it from customers.
What
does
it do, like skincare?
No, it is for hair, and it reduces the hair fall on your scalp. Now, you know, we did lots of consumer trials, then we did clinical trials, we found that we've got a great product. It was unique. We started marketing it. The ROAS was amazing. And so we pumped it very, very highly. I think it hit like 100 crores in a few months.
Wow.
Only on purple.com. And then now you started gradually distributing it everywhere. I think their product might be 200, 250
crores. Is
there
any IP in it, or can people, coming back to the moats question, are people copying it?
You know, so one, it was our unique formulation.
Yeah.
But I won't say it cannot be copied. You know, you can probably reverse engineer it and do it. But my sense is maybe you can chip away with 10, 20% share. It will belong to us.
There's a very interesting potential takeaway lesson.
Like, if you ask me, can I disrupt, you know, a Unilever shampoo by launching a similar product because I can reconstruct that formulation, the answer is no.
Main wahi bol raha tha, wahi, this really struck me. I think it is a very actionable insight. You are saying when you find a unique wedge and if it is working, then dabao early. Dabao early, because the next player, it will take them a lot more spends, and they may not be the new ones. The incumbents anyway can't innovate, so that's a separate topic, because they have all worries about cannibalization. And the new ones, I thought the remark you made about they'll have to spend 4x of revenue, which will be what percentage of revenue for you?
Will be nothing, you know. It'll be
10%
nothing.
Of this,
10% of my spend. You can't win.
Very good.
You can't win like that. Likewise, I can't displace somebody by copying a product and saying, you know, hey, I'm going to win this market or win a reasonable market share. And I'll tell you, I think in consumer businesses, maybe both products and platforms, I think market share is everything. So I'll give you an example. I think this was probably true, you know, a few years ago. And I'll give you an example of Purple. So our market share in Kerala, and we took a, again, this is a contrarian approach. We took a state-by-state approach to win, because we thought our marketing spend was not enough to win pan-India. So, and we also started investing heavily in service levels in that state. So one, we had a unique product, which is this product. Second, we said we will provide superlative service in this state, much better than the best horizontal player in the country. And third, we will market the most in this state. Our market share in Kerala is probably around 40% amongst all players in the country. What that means is that normally, if you look at it, if you interview 10 women in Kerala, my sense is 8 or 9 out of 10 will tell you Purple is their first choice of transaction. So what happens is, if any brand now markets in Kerala, the demand culminates here.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
and for that marketing in Kerala, did you do, that's very interesting, that if any other brand markets, because you have the highest recall, probably you are benefiting. That's very, very interesting also. Did you use any local influencers for this localized marketing?
So again, that was a contrarian approach. We did this way back in 2018. So when the world used to do, you know, I would call them as English speaking influencers, content creators, we went vernacular. And it was also purely by data. I wouldn't say, I think there was one insight, but I think data had to prove that. So the insight was very simple. I went and met priests of various communities in India, and I said, please tell me all the small and big festivals that are celebrated by all communities in India. Because I live in Bombay, we don't celebrate a lot of festivals here, but maybe Vishu is big in Kerala, and maybe, you know, many other festivals are big in other parts of the country, and that's where most of the shopping happens, especially for women. So we created a list. Then we started doing content in both vernacular and English to test what happens. And vernacular obviously started going viral 20, 30, 40x more than what English started doing. And so, you know, I think the writing was on the wall.
Yeah.
So way back in 2018, early 2018, we started doing content creation. Now, how do you go deep? Because, you know, everybody can skim the surface, because that's easy to do. You put somebody in your office and say, you know, hey, find me top 20 creators in Hindi, and you know, they will be able to find it to you. How do you find the most cost-effective 2,000 creators in Malayalam is the challenge that I would pose.
Yeah.
And AI came to our rescue. So, you know, again, I would say a lot of this is just luck, because We are building our company in an age which is to our strength.
Yes.
You know, like data was our strength, yeah. machine learning was yeah. our strength, AI came to our rescue. Yeah. So
nobody came to your rescue. Luck is preparation meeting opportunity. You guys were always prepared. And like you said, from day one, you said we didn't have a female co-founder, but we were going after analytics, we were going after machine learning. So it's very much you have created your own luck. But the environment changed. There's a question here. You know, a lot of scaling was happening around you. A lot of money got raised. The question is, how should you approach sustainable growth versus aggressive scaling, valuation or profitability? You know, and by the way, you come from a background where you have seen as a banker. How have you navigated this journey to this point, which must have been a lot of heart attacks potentially along the way?
You know, I would say it's to do with your internal compass. I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all to this answer. So for example, some entrepreneur might be very aggressive on scaling. Some entrepreneurs might take balanced scaling, balanced growth, or balanced profitability. I think it's what your heart tells you is the right thing for you to do. Because at the end of the day, you know, when you go back home and you want to sleep nicely, it's a choice you have to make for yourself. So I made this choice that, you know, this balanced way of growing works beautifully for us.
Yeah.
Not the fact that I don't get adrenaline from growing really fast. I love it. But, you know, at the same time, I have to just also control myself and say, look, I also want to go back home and sleep nicely.
Yeah.
And so I always want to have that cushion. Having said that, you know, and also I feel some of it is just first principles. I'll give you an example. And I remember this conversation with you somewhere in 2021 or 22. You know, you reached out to me saying, you know, there was this phenomena called Thrasios of India that, you know, lots of startups were getting formed and becoming unicorns in 6 months. And they were buying brands or so-called brands at 1x revenue and they were trading at 6x revenue. So your question to me was, why are you not doing it? And my answer to you was, you know, I just don't feel, one, it is possible for a small management team like us, which is, let's say, 2-3 founders, to actually build 10-20 brands at one go.
Yeah.
You know, brands take their own sweet time to do well.
Yeah.
So I don't think we had the intellectual capability to actually build 10-20 brands from day one at any given point in time. And two, I felt, you know, this valuation arbitrage just never made sense. Yeah. You know, like,
it was a free zar para, free money. But it's interesting. You were one of those, a few other founders. All the first principles founders said, customer segment will also not translate over. Yeah. Forget everything else.
Yeah.
Customer segment itself won't translate over. Right?
So
it's
I just,
a theory.
Yeah, yeah, I just felt like, you know, there was this randomness happening. And in beauty also, it was happening with one of our competitors who it no longer exists today.
Yes.
So there was obviously a lot of pressure from everyone to say, no, look, do you want to be the third guy going public?
Yeah.
You know, and not the second guy going public. So, look, there was pressure, I must say. I just think first principles wise, it
first
was just
principles and internal compass.
And internal compass. You know, it was just not making sense. You know,
I also heard, you know, somewhere along the way, frugality.
Yeah.
It sounded like, and let me ask you before we go to frugality, when you started the company, what was your exit horizon?
You know, when we started the company, and it was in a very different era, to be honest with you, 2011 of India is poles apart from 2026 of India, right? So, you know, the idea was we will give it 3 years.
Okay.
We will see how it goes. And, you know, and this is also because we had never started a company earlier. So we didn't know what to expect. We just thought, let's give it a shot. You know, 3 years is what we will commit to minimum and see how it goes on from there.
Which is fair.
Now, you know, what happens is when you're in year two and year three, you just can't leave because I think, one, your ego doesn't let you leave. You know, your ego tells you, you know, you can't lose. So a lot of people ask us this question, you know, what makes you continue for this long along, you know, all through your ups and downs mostly. Look, I would just, I don't know the answer, but I would just say, you know, harna nahi hai. You know, like, you know, one of the advice I got from the other Avendus co-founder when I was leaving Avendus and I was starting Purple, this is Kaushal. And Kaushal made this statement to me, you know, India will grow at 7% year on year for the next foreseeable future. On a normal GDP terms, it will grow at 12%.
Yeah.
You know, just stay in the game.
Yeah.
You'll do very well.
Yeah. Power of compounding.
Power of compounding. Just stay. You know, even if you compound at 20% year on year, even on a small base, you'll do just extremely well.
Yeah.
So I just never wanted to leave.
So I think that, ek to I love the line, harna nahi hai. But the power of compounding, once you switch to playing the long game, I think some of these answers become easier.
Right? But look, it's damn hard to play the long game.
Especially when people around you are...
Yeah, so, you know, you also asked me this question of why build in Bombay and Mumbai and not build in any other city.
Yeah, let's come to that.
You know, to be honest, I'm grateful for building in this city. And maybe this is just like in hindsight, but I think, I think to build a company, you need lots of talent and not one kind of talent. So we need creative talent, we need brand building talent, we need technology talent. We just don't need one kind of talent. We need supply chain talent. I thought Bombay had this good talent pool where anyways, humko 10,000 engineers nahi hire karne. I was not building an IT services company. So, you know, Bombay was a good place to start. I think second and more importantly, this is true for Bombay, perhaps true for other cities, but I don't know, is that I think Bombay keeps you grounded. There are hundreds or thousands of people in Bombay who have done much better than I will ever do in my life. And, you know, if they stay very grounded, you know, I feel like, you know, it keeps you grounded. There'll be many examples, you know, Uday Kotak will be one example. Yeah. There are many, you know, like...
And they have examples, by the way, at both ends. Mm. You also see the Dabbawalas and the people being happy and probably one of the most professional logistics network that has existed.
So, and my third point is on people quality. Yeah. You know, I think just professionalism of everybody who lives here, even if they have migrated from some other city to this city, is just next level. You don't expect this to happen.
Yeah.
And so... You know, in hindsight, I think it's been a blessing building here. Yeah, rentals are a little high. Yes, real estate cost is a little high. You know, maybe it's a little expensive city.
But that is also converging now with all these metros.
Could be.
And,
Could be. Yeah, maybe houses are a little smaller. You know, like, it's okay. You know, like, they are bigger than Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So,
but by the way, even people who do need those 1,000 engineers and some of the AI companies say that the churn is lower.
Yeah.
The loyalty is higher.
Yeah.
And you have IIT Bombay here. So if you want the best talent, it's all there.
It's all there.
Right?
Yeah.
You live next to it. You
live
in Pawai.
I live in Pawai.
So where do we go from here, Manish? People want to know. Your company has been doing well. How do you, of course, coming from your background, maybe you were always thinking IPO, karenge kabhi na kabhi. How do you think about that decision? How should, fortunately today, and it, I'm sure gladdens your heart, it gladdens my heart. Many companies are now have this option to think through. Earlier, though, scale wasn't there. Right?
Yeah.
What is the thought process? When should we expect you bringing the ghanti?
You know, I would say, you know, if you look at most of the wealth created in the country by most companies, it is after going public. So should anything hold us back? The answer is no. You know, you have to learn from history. I think you look at any group in India, whether it's JSW Group, whether it is Reliance.
All the way to Reliance. I mean, Dhirubhai started the equity culture.
Infosys, you know, everybody, right? So I think a lot of wealth is created after going public. You know, public forces you to be more disciplined than what you could be when you are private. My sense is I think we are ready. So, you know, somewhere in the next 18 to 24 months is something, you know, we will look to going public. You know, we'll see how markets are at that point in time. I also think it's one financing event in the life of a company.
Correct. It's a milestone, but it's a financing event. Yeah.
Look, it's okay to be a milestone. I mean, you just work very hard for it because the process is long. Unlike in private markets where the processes can be smaller, can be shorter. But look, it's a very hard work driven milestone. But look, it's an event. I think you go public and then after that life in many ways becomes far easier.
Yeah.
And then in many ways becomes, you know, I think access to capital is just
permanent capital.
Access to capital is just 100x more than what it is in the private world. I don't have to worry about exits for my investors. They can figure out their own block trades and sell. you know, fundraises for companies become much easier. You can do a QIP and, you know, raise hundreds of millions of dollars much easier than what you can do in the private world. So, look, there are positives. There are some constraints on what you can do and what you can't do. I guess if you don't look at your stock price every day, you probably look at it once a month or once in 2 months, you know, you should be okay. I mean, and we'll see how it plays out. I don't know.
Being in Mumbai is a big advantage even to go public.
Yeah. Or
everything is here. By the way, I only half joke with founders that before going public, you have to come and live here for a year in Mumbai because that's where all the investors are. Manish, many people are inspired by your journey. Many people watch you from the outside. There are aspiring entrepreneurs watching this. What lessons, advice do you have for people?
I wouldn't give any advice to anybody because I think, you know, my advice might be wrong for people. The reason is my advice comes from my own experiences and maybe your world is different from mine. But I would say there are two, three things that maybe come along handy in our journey. You know, I would say just build responsibly. You know, like one is take care of everyone, be nice to people. I think it's been a great thing for Purple. I think we've been overtly nice to a lot of people and I can tell you so many stories of how it's turned out to be great for us.
One example.
You know, we've done 3 acquisitions. In each of those acquisitions, we ended up wiring an advance to the company. In one case, it was $2 million.
Wow.
Even though we knew that if we don't consummate this transaction, this money will probably never come back. Yeah. And the company will go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in each of them.
And those acquisitions have worked out really well.
And those acquisitions have worked out beautifully well for us.
Mm-hmm. Very different from other stories in the market.
I don't know. Yeah. But we haven't done too many. So.
We were talking earlier about putting platforms together and all. You know,
Most of them have blown up. But so I think, you know, in COVID, because we were lucky to have raised a round before COVID. In COVID, we extended credit to a lot of our suppliers because they were stressed for credit. They didn't have money in the bank. A lot of their large customers and so-called FMCG customers of theirs had screwed them on working capital. We ended up coming to their rescue. So when market opened up post-COVID, we were the first ones to get supplies because we had given advances to them. It's like so many of these things happened, you know.
So is that somewhere in your value system? Be nice? Or play nice?
Yeah, play nice. I think it's been in our value system. People have tried to screw us also. But, you know, it's been okay. They've not been able to, in my view. It's part of our value system, in my view. I just think it's worked out beautifully. In one case, a company was getting sold to a very large, FMCG company and they chose to sell to us. You know, it was not easy choice to make because we were not what we are today 5 years ago. And, you know, they chose us maybe because we were being nice to them.
So build responsibility.
Yeah, build responsibility and, you know, build responsibility for everyone around you. You know, build responsibility for the planet also. You know, we only have one planet. There is no plan B. So at some point in time, you know, ESG will start becoming extremely important for us. If you can keep it in your conscience from day one, you know, I think you'll build a wonderful company for long term, you know. I mean, yeah, I would say that is the only message I would say.
That's awesome. It's a very inspiring message. Thank you. Look forward to the bell getting rung soon.
Thank
responsibly.
You. Thank you.
All right. Well,
thank you. Bye. Cheers.
You're watching Z47 Moments, the podcast by India's oldest venture capital firm, Z47. If you like this episode, consider hitting the subscribe button and the bell icon so you never miss an update from Z47 Moments.